The California Association of Marriage and April 30th through May 3rd in 1998. This is program R-152, tape number 31A.
Appreciate your coming. As a matter of fact, we didn't know how many people would come today on Sunday morning. It takes great dedication to get up to this hour, and especially we figured that anybody who'd come to a workshop on spiritual cognitive therapy would probably be in church. And, so we're wondering who would be left. We'd get the non-church people, or maybe you could use that as a substitute for church, and that God would still be okay if you came here instead of going to church this morning. We thought maybe there'd be some people in that. Well, individually, Sherry and I do a lot of workshops, actually, but we rarely do them together. And whenever we do them together, our anxiety level sort of skyrockets. You know, it takes us about 10 times as long to prepare for it because we have to, I don't know, get our lines right, and even the back and forth things, and I don't know what happens, but somehow it takes a lot longer, and we're a lot more nervous and so forth. And this happens every time. So, as a matter of fact, this last week, Sherry...
Well, one of the things that we try to use is, again, the title of Tom's book, Rise Above, and we try to rise above what's, you know, what's happening. And we were going through sort of like our final, you know, putting the workshop together, getting all the parts and pieces right. I'd had a particularly hectic week, and I'd come home from seeing 7 clients in a row. And at a university, they schedule us that way, hour after hour. And it seemed to be a day where I'd had, you know, my most difficult, you know, clients that I had to deal with. So anyway, trying to get this done, Tom was fixing dinner, and I was trying to help by taking the trash out. And I don't know if any of you have these great big trash containers you take out for the trash, you know, for the trash men. So he's cooking, I'm rolling out this huge trash container with a huge big lid, and I have to go over a step. And so I'm rolling it down, and the trash container slipped, the lid came back, knocked me off of my balance, I fell forward and fell in to the trash. That's the truth. And so, again, I had to rise above or rise out of the trash can. And anyway, so here we are.
That was sort of one of the point, the height of our anxiety, I think, too. And Sherry came in and she said, I feel like a piece of trash. She said, I fell in the trash can. I couldn't believe it, you know. So anyway, well, we want to tell you a little bit about how our own spiritual journeys happened. And that was a different process. I grew up in Oklahoma City, actually, and my father was a person who owned a business, and he'd always stressed success and being the best at whatever you do as number one in life, the most important thing in life. And I'd grown up with that, and I believed that, and at age 16, I spent a summer and I began to think about life a little bit, and I looked at my father, I realized that he was not a very happy man. And I wasn't particularly that happy either. I'd been doing my life trying to be the best at everything, and I really wasn't the best at anything. And I knew there was something wrong with this philosophy. So I ended up deciding that maybe happiness was a more important goal than success. And at that time, at age 16, I decided to try and experiment making happiness for myself and others my top goal in life. And I even wrote a little set of rules how to be happy. And actually, it's kind of interesting, that was 40 years ago, and my book comes out this year, so it's sort of a very meaningful thing for me. That's sort of what I've learned in the last 40 years, I guess. Then after a while, I decided I was influenced by a Methodist minister that was an important person in my life, and so I went to school of theology. I was going to be a Methodist minister. I was a Methodist minister shortly, but I also decided I wanted to go into counseling, so then I went ahead and got my doctorate in counseling. I've been doing therapy mostly and research and so forth, teaching at Cal State Long Beach most of that time. So that's where my story begins a little bit.
Well, my struggle was, you know, spiritual cognitive therapy, and I'm saying, gosh, how do I fit into this? You know, I grew up, we went to church sometimes, but, you know, not all the time, and our family, you know, had a belief in God, but it was very informal, very casual. And by the time I was a teenager, religion was left totally up to wherever we wanted to go with that. And basically, I, you know, kind of stopped going to church. And later on, as I got more into a growth process, what I call more a spiritual process, and that's the way I define my process, is more spiritual as opposed to, say, Tom's, which is more a formal religious process, I started looking at, you know, who I was, my higher self as I, you know, as I defined it. We hear the word higher self a lot, and we're going to talk about that a lot more. Then moving more into a higher power, universal power, spirit, something more outside of myself, and then kind of full circle back to a belief, you know, to a belief in God. So again, he represents sort of more the more formal, theological background, and I define myself more from the spiritual. And what we wanted to do is get a little bit more of a feel for how all of, you know, where you were. And what I'd like to do is a quick audience survey just by a raise of hands. And in thinking about your own spiritual process, again, the way we described it, and I'm going to start with a raise of hands on these three questions. When I think about my spiritual life, if you would just please raise your hand, and again, you may be raising to more than one of these. I have a deeply religious background.